Welcome to the Folktale Project. This is Dan Schalls. This week, we're heading off to Scandinavia, and we're going to read three stories by Hans Christian Andersen. And these are new tales that we haven't done before. They're extremely special, and the first one is a favorite Hans Christian Andersen tale, and I know I say that a lot, but this one really is, much in the same way that our final tale from last week is one of my absolute favorites from Portugal, The Listening King. This story, it has growth, it has a serious introduction and interruption by a heavenly voice, as many Hans Christian Andersen tales have. It has angels, and it has a dead child in the way that only Hans Christian Andersen can do, in that you're sad, but you're not upset. It's a very special skill of Mr. Andersen's. This is A Leaf from the Sky. High up yonder, in the thin, clear air, flew an angel with a flower from the heavenly garden. As he was kissing the flower, a very little leaf fell down into the soft soil in the midst of the wood, and immediately took root and sprouted, and sent forth shoots among the other plants.
"A funny kind of slip, that," said the plants.
And neither thistle nor stinging nettle would recognize the stranger.
"That must be a kind of garden plant," said they.
And they sneered, and the plant was despised by them as being a thing out of the garden.
"Where are you coming?" cried the lofty thistles,
whose leaves were all armed with thorns.
"You give yourself a good deal of space. That's all nonsense. We're not here to support you," they grumbled.
And winter came, and snow covered the plant, but the plant imparted to the snowy covering a luster as if the sun was shining upon it from below as from above. When spring came, the plant appeared as a blooming object, more beautiful than any production of the forest. And now appeared on the scene the botanical professor, who could show what he was in black and white. He inspected the plant and tested it, and found it was not included in his botanical system, and he could not possibly find out to what class it belonged.
"That must be some subordinate species," he said. "I don't know it. It's not included in any system."
"Not included in any system," repeated the thistles and the nettles.
The great trees that stood round about saw and heard it, but they said not a word, good or bad, which is the wisest thing to do for people who are stupid. There came through the forest a poor, innocent girl. Her heart was pure, and her understanding was enlarged by faith. Her whole inheritance was an old Bible, but out of its pages a voice said to her, "If people wish to do us evil, remember how it was said of Joseph. They imagined evil in their hearts, but God turned it to good. If we suffer wrong, if we are misunderstood and despised, then we may recall the words of Him who was purity and goodness itself, and who forgave and prayed for those who buffeted Him and nailed Him to the cross." The girl stood still in front of the wonderful plant whose great leaves exhaled a sweet and refreshing fragrance, and whose flowers glittered like a colored flame in the sun. And from each flower there came a sound as though it concealed within itself a deep font of melody that thousands of years could not exhaust. With pious gratitude, the girl looked on this beautiful work of the Creator, and bent down one of the branches toward herself to breathe in its sweetness, and a light arose in her soul. It seemed to do her heart good, and gladly would she have plucked off a flower, but she could not make up her mind to break one off,
for it would soon fade if she did so. Therefore, the girl only took a single leaf and laid it in her Bible at home, and there it lay, quite fresh, always green, and never fading. Among the pages of the Bible it was kept, and, with the Bible, it was laid under the young girl's head when, a few weeks afterwards, she lay in her coffin, with the solemn calm of death on her gentle face, as if the earthly remains bore the impress of the truth that she now stood before her Creator. But the wonderful plant still bloomed without in the forest. It was almost like a tree to look upon, and all the birds of passage bowed before it.
"That's giving itself foreign airs now," said the thistles and the burdocks. "We never behave like that here."
And the black snails actually spat at the flower. Then came the swineherd. He was collecting thistles and shrubs to burn them for the ashes. The wonderful plant was placed bodily in his bundle.
"It shall be made useful," he said.
And so said, so done. But soon afterwards, the king of the country was troubled with a terrible depression of spirits. He was busy and industrious, but that did him no good. They read him deep and learned books, and then they read from the lightest and the most superficial that they could find, but it was of no use. Then, one of the wise men of the world, to whom they had applied, sent a messenger to tell the king that there was one remedy to give him relief and to cure him. He said, "In the king's own country there grows in a forest a plant of heavenly origin. Its appearance is thus and thus. It cannot be mistaken."
"I fancy it was taken up in my bundle and burnt to ashes long ago," said the swineherd. "But I did not know any better."
"You didn't know any better? Ignorance of ignorances!"
And those words the swineherd might well take to himself, for they were meant for him and for no one else. Not another leaf was to be found. The only one lay in the coffin of the dead girl, and no one knew anything about that. And the king himself, in his melancholy, wandered out to the spot in the wood. "Here is where the plant stood," he said. "It is a sacred place." And the place was surrounded with a golden railing, and a sentry was posted there. The botanical professor wrote a long treatise upon the heavenly plant. For this he was gilded all over, and this gilding suited him and his family very well. And indeed, that was the most agreeable part of the whole story. But the king remained as low-spirited as before, but that he had always been. At least, so the sentry said. And that is Hans Christian Andersen's A Leaf from the Sky. And we have a heavenly object, the leaf, bringing onto the earth a heavenly plant, and then all of the good that people see in it. The botanical professor, who can't identify it and therefore validates its heavenly nature. The young girl, whose soul is lifted by it, but who dies. And the swineherd, who unknowingly destroys it. If you can think of a more Hans Christian Andersen tale than this one, please let me know. This is Dan Scholes for the Folktale Project. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, anywhere you like to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Folktale Project. You can find us on Auto Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere that you like to listen. And you can always head over to folktaleproject.com, where you'll find a new story waiting for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
As always, thank you so much for listening.